So let's go to you, Rich. You have your 38-year-old.
Steve may recognize this patient because we all helped to take care of this person. 38-year-old speech pathologist, acute abdominal pain in March of 2000, had an exploratory laparotomy and had a ruptured transverse colon, 4 of 12 positive modes, and invisible at the time of surgery, but noted on a postoperative CT scan were 3 liver nodules. An FNA was done and was found to be metastatic colon cancer. Here you can see the CT scan, and this was reviewed by our multidisciplinary team, and the surgeons felt that because of poor location of the disease around the trifurcation, that this patient could not be resected at the time of surgery.
Steve, do you agree with that?
Or at the time of evaluation.
Well, I can't make a basis just on this. I mean, clearly there's one lesion on the left hepatic vein, another on the middle. I can't really comment on completely on the right, but I have to assume if that larger lesion is in fact involving all 3 hepatic veins, then yes, by definition, that's unresectable.
In this situation, conceptually, would you call it a conversion possibility?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what would you want to see happen, just pulling away from the structures?
You need to save one of those 3 veins. And the image we've got here is kind of up at the dome of the liver. So you've got lesions involving segments 8, segments potentially extending into 4, into 2. So by definition, you want to get at least one of those tumors away from one of those 3 veins. Presumably the smaller one there involving the left vein is your best shot.
So what happened, Rich?
So this patient enrolled on a trial of FOLFOX for non-optimally resectable metastatic colorectal cancer, which had as its goal leading to surgery if possible, and got 7 treatments. And here is what the liver in the same area looks like after 7 treatments. The protocol specified continuing therapy, and so that was done after resection. So actually this patient was resected after 7 cycles and then continued on with treatment and had a complete resection.
Residual tumor?
There was residual tumor in the resection specimens, but evidence of chemotherapy-induced necrosis. And so 20 months after surgery, the patient is looking fine with no evident liver metastases. But 36 months after surgery, the patient shows up with 3 masses on CT scan and enlarged periportal nodes. So what we elected to do in this case was to restart FOLFOX. She'd had an excellent response to FOLFOX. She hadn't had it in a long time. She had had some neuropathy, but it had all disappeared, and she ended up responding to retreatment with the same drugs. Had a PR, but then went on to progress and had treatment then with irinotecan and then irinotecan with cetuximab, and expired 5 years from the time of initial diagnosis. So here was a patient who looked like she had a favorable biology, had the resection, but then had recurrence, which, as we've noted in our discussions today, happens more commonly than not. But I think it would be easy to argue that this patient benefited in terms of overall survival by all of the modalities that we brought to bear on the treatment.
Mike, what about the issue of re-operating on someone? I mean, when this patient did recur in the liver, if it had met the criteria for resectability, just normally go ahead and do it?
Yeah, I think no question that the reassessment of resectability is similar to the initial one. That's a reason we now are pushing more towards so-called parenchymal preserving initial operations. So yes, all the original sites of disease need to be resected at the first operation, but if we try to limit the major hepatectomies, if you can afford to do that, one reason is that I think that the opportunities for anatomic resections at the second time around is greater than if you've done, for example, an extended hepatectomy or whatever the first time. Were the both metastases resected the first time, and were the recurrences in that location or elsewhere?
She actually had a third met that wasn't shown there. All 3 were resected, and she recurred in areas distant from the sites of the initial disease.
Axel, what about the issue of follow-up of patients after primary colon cancer surgery, adjuvant therapy, and the implications of this whole arena that we're talking about today to follow-up? Some investigators that we work with say, I follow patients much more carefully now because I'm trying to find curative metastatic disease. Is that the way you approach it?
I do. And when you talk about guidelines, I would like to see a shift in guidelines from a nihilistic state, like in breast cancer, for instance, like when you see metastatic disease, you know, it's not curable at all, or pancreatic cancer, or esophageal cancer. We're talking about a situation where a stage 4 disease is curable, if we catch it early and if we manage it correctly. So I do, in my personal practice, I follow the kind of unwritten rule of keeping close eye on patients for the first 2 or 3 years after, let's say, for instance, stage 3 adjuvant therapy. And I use CT scans mainly to assess the situation every 3 months. And there are some data, you know, coming out of England, for instance, where the scrutiny in terms of what kind of cost effectiveness you provide is much more dominant. And even there, data from David Cunningham's group, for instance, suggests, although it might not be cost effective, but you can actually catch some patients and get them into surgery earlier if you follow them more closely.
John?
Well, two comments. Firstly, the Cunningham paper, which was published in JCO, I think is heavily flawed.
You mean the editing was heavily flawed? Or the?
I thought the paper, I thought the conceptually...
Could you talk about exactly what they reported?
They were basically showing that patients who had recurrence detected by a follow-up modality did better, usually because they had resections performed. But the simple explanation is it's length bias. The interval cancers are worse. They've got worse cancers, and so they didn't do as well. So I really don't like that paper, and I've told David that, so it's nothing secret about that. The other comment I was going to make is that I'm chief investigator of the UK National Colorectal Cancer Follow-Up Trial. We've now recruited 1,000 patients into that. And basically what we're doing is looking at minimalistic follow-up, which would be a single CT scan and some clinical follow-up versus regular CT scan and tumor markers. So it's a 2x2 trial design. And it's going to be a while before that reports, but we've got a substantial number of patients in it at least.
What do you think you're going to see?
I suspect we probably won't see much difference because I think the single CT scan in the first 2 years is probably going to pick up most of the recurrent disease that you're ever going to find. And in cost-effectiveness terms, that may be all you need to do. I appreciate you couldn't do that study in the States.
Alan, how do you approach follow-up, and have you become more active in follow-up in more recent years with more interest in the issue of surgery for cure?
Yeah, so in the immediate adjuvant patient,
right.
So the stage 3 patient.
Exactly.
And of course, colonoscopy. And then at 3 years, we back off to every 6 months or so.
But I can't tell you how many patients who I send back to the community who are getting PET scans every 3 months.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous.
No, yeah,
I think we do have to rein in some of the aggressive surveillance that's being done. Yeah.